Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the baptism of fire that John the Baptist spoke about in Matthew 3:11. But first, I want to be giving you an update of what's going on over in Africa. And I praise the Lord for the projects there. We have 25 children in a children's home now at Living Water Children's Home. And we are going to be hosting a small conference with the employees and administrators of other children's homes in the Kakamega County. And so they're going to be coming over this week and blessing our home and praying with our home and over our home. And then we'll be feeding them a meal. And so this is going to be the first time that many of the children's home administrators and employees of Kakamega County children's homes will be coming to our place. And there's about 15 children's homes in Kakamega County. There's 1.8 million people there. And so it's going to be a blessing for us to host them. And so keep that in your prayers. And also, we're going to be making plans for a crusade in Tanzania in August. And also, we have a team coming from the USA in July. And they're going to be doing an encounter conference at our church, Living Water Church. And so we're getting the plans laid for that, and looks like there's going to be several people coming. And so we're very excited about that and looking forward to that coming up in mid-July. Well, today we're going to be talking about the baptism of fire, and the foundation scripture that we have for this is in Matthew 3. And in verse 11, John the Baptist, he is talking about the baptism of water. He's out in the Jordan River and he's baptizing people that are coming to him, and it's a baptism of repentance, or for repentance. The Pharisees are coming and just the common people are coming, and he's baptizing them for the remission of sins. And John says in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but there's one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so he's talking about a baptism that has not occurred yet, a baptism that you can't see. It's not a baptism similar to the water baptism. There are similarities, but it's not one that you can see. The water baptism obviously is one you can see, where the person goes down into the water and the water washes over them. They're completely immersed, which is the word baptizo means immersion. That the Greek word baptizo means immersion. And so they're completely immersed in the water. The water rushes over them and then they come up out of the water and they are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The water representing the washing of the sins by the blood of Jesus, the washing away of the sins and the iniquity by the blood of Jesus. And then they come up out of the water, which is representing the resurrection. And Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, through the Apostle Paul, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And so when you come up out of that water, it's symbolic of the resurrection. As Jesus came out of the tomb, he defeated death for all time. And as you come up out of that watery grave of baptism, you also have defeated death. Yes, your physical body is going to die, but your spiritual body and your soul, your spirit, will go on for all eternity. You will reside with Jesus and with Jehovah God and the angels and your loved ones who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord. You will reside with them for all eternity in heaven. Praise God for that. And so we have newness of life. We have resurrection. And just as Jesus was resurrected, you too will come up out of that watery grave and you will be a new creation. And so John said that there's one coming after me, that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so it's a different kind of a baptism. It's a baptism of fire. We're going to look at, where does the fire come? Why did John speak of that word about baptism of fire? Well, in Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord says that the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Beloved, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have a spirit that is with you, and it's not just a thing, it's not just some ethereal force or it is not just some nebulous thing to walk with you and be with you. It is the spirit. He is a person, the spirit of the living God. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you, and he will walk with you. He will be your counselor. He will be your advocate. He will be your paraclete, your comforter. And so the Spirit of the living God, the person of the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity, and he will be with you as a jealous God, and he will jealously guard that spirit that is within you. In other words, he will jealously guard it and protect you, help protect you when demonic spirits or other spirits come around and try to woo you away from the kingdom of God. When demonic spirits come around and tempt you, the Spirit of the living God will give you counsel, will give you an advocacy that will help you to stand up against demonic spirits and temptation. And the way that the devil operates is he is always cunning, he is always deceitful, he is always trying to scheme and bring a charge against God's elect. And so the Holy Spirit, the person of the living God who is with you, will help you to counteract the schemes and expose the schemes of the evil one. Well, in Exodus 13, chapter 13, verse 21, there was a pillar of fire leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. It says, "And the Lord went before them, the children of Israel, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." And so this fire goes with them by night. That's a representation, or not just a representation, that fire was the living God traveling with them, and probably the Holy Spirit traveling with them and guarding them by night and also lighting the way. So as they went through the wilderness, they knew where they were going, their feet were sure, and they could walk in a path that was lit up for them, and they would know exactly where they were going. And so in verse 22, "The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people all the time." For 40 years they were in the wilderness. For 40 years their way was lit. And we take for granted the electricity here in America and many places around the world. We take for granted the electricity, and we have street lights, and we have lights in parking lots. We have lights in our homes. If you get up in the middle of the night, of course, you flip on the switch and you have a light in your home to help you see where you need to go. And so we take electricity for granted. That in itself is a mighty miracle. And yet these people had a light to guide their way, and there was about 1 million or 2 million strong of these people. They had a light to guide their way as they went through the wilderness area. And this is also a representation of the Holy Spirit that guides us. Our Holy Spirit is our guiding light, gives us counsel, and gives us wisdom as we proceed in life and through life. So then another example of the fire comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And this is Moses when he's out in the Midian desert. He's out there keeping his sheep, keeping the flock. And it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the burning bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed." Well, that in itself would be something of a great miracle, because generally speaking, when we see fire, it consumes the wood, it consumes the brush, whatever it is it's burning, the grass on a prairie fire. And yet Moses was looking at this burning bush, and the bush was not burning up. It was just a fire, and the bush was, you might say, the container for the fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And of course, we know that the Lord spoke to Moses there, and he gave him the charge to go back to Egypt. And before he started to give him his charge, he said to Moses, take off your shoes, for the place that you are standing, the ground that you are standing on, is holy ground. And so when the Lord showed up with the fire, it was holy ground, and essentially all the ground everywhere is holy ground. It all belongs to God, and so it's all holy ground. But this ground was even more holy, as God presented himself to Moses in the burning bush and spoke to Moses and gave him his charge to go back to Egypt and to help lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, the baptism of fire is a real thing. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that fire in you burns, and it is a burning fire, as Jeremiah spoke in chapter 20, I believe it is, in Jeremiah. He spoke about this fire burning in him, and he had to let it out. This fire, he wanted to speak, he wanted to preach, he wanted to prophesy. And beloved, when you get that Holy Spirit and fire, you're not going to be satisfied just sitting on the bench being a bench warmer. You're not going to be satisfied just with a ho-hum Christian life, showing up for church. Praise God for going to church. I'm all for that. I go to church myself every week, but I go to preach. And so as you receive that Holy Spirit and fire, the Lord will stir up in you a desire to share the gospel, a desire to be a witness, and a desire to do something great, to fulfill your destiny and your call, which you may not even know what I'm speaking of there. You may not even know what your destiny and your calling is. You may not even understand that God has a great plan for your life, much greater than what you know. You may not understand any of those things, but just let me tell you, if you don't understand it, that God has a great plan for your life. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is the God that is in you than that little he that is in the world. And so as the devil tries to keep you from moving into your destiny, as the devil tries to keep you from moving into your calling and whatever it is God has planned for you, to elevate you in the kingdom, that you would be a witness and give a testimony for the kingdom, as the devil tries to tear you away and take you away from that, the Lord God has a plan to push you into it and to give you the fire and to give you that strength and that power to move forward into your destiny and be everything that God wants you to be. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a catalyst, you might say. The baptism comes as a catalyst to spark renewal, to spark revival in you personally. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also there to instigate kingdom revival in churches, kingdom revival in crusades, kingdom revival over whole regions. Sometimes in the past, there's been whole regions that have caught on fire for the Lord. There's been whole regions where people have come to know the Lord. I'm thinking of the Cane Ridge Revival. You can look that up, Google that. Way back in Cane Ridge, Kentucky, back in the 1800s, there was a revival that transformed a whole region, and thousands of people came to know the Lord, and thousands of people received that baptism of fire, and out of that came many preachers and prophets and people who wanted to go forward with a new passion, with that fire that was in them still in other people and witness to other people what the kingdom of God was doing in their life. And I've seen in Africa, different places, and seen the results of different crusades in Africa, and sometimes it can transform a whole nation. Thinking of Reinhard Bonnke, the Christ for All Nations crusades in Nigeria back in the early 2000s, back in 2001, 2 and 3, I believe it is, there was crusades in Nigeria that just transformed that whole nation. Millions and millions, literally millions of people came to these crusades. Even in one meeting, 2, 3, 4 million people came in a series of meetings, say over 3 nights, and received salvation and received the Holy Spirit, and many, many people were transformed in that whole nation, and it just changed that whole nation. And God had kept Bonnke out of that nation. The door had been closed because of political things that were going on there. God had kept Bonnke out of that nation for many years. But when the door opened, there was a flood of the Holy Spirit. There was a flood of salvations that just transformed that whole nation. And beloved, I've seen the same thing in the last year in Tanzania. The President John Magufuli of Tanzania said, "We're not going to bow to COVID virus. We're not going to shut down this nation. We're going to keep going. We're going to encourage the people to go into churches and pray. We're going to fast and pray, and we're going to see the power of God take care of this virus for us." And that is exactly what happened. I've been in Tanzania now 3 times in the last year to preach crusades, and there was powerful meetings, powerful moves of God. People got healings, people got deliverance, people got salvations, and it was all because John Magufuli had the faith to believe that God could take care of that coronavirus for them. And many crusades were preached. People came there from all over the world. There was others besides us coming in to preach crusades. And so people came and were blessed. And the evangelists came in there because there's an open door. It's like the Macedonian open door that the Apostle Paul received in the book of Acts. And so that Macedonian open door occurred in the country of Tanzania, and Tanzania was blessed because of that, and many people received salvation and the baptism of fire because of that. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, you'll see this scripture. It says, and this is Jesus speaking to the disciples just before Jesus is taken up into heaven. He has one last meeting with the disciples, and he tells them to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised you. And he's talking about that Holy Spirit. He's saying, wait, for it is coming. It is coming. Just be patient and stay here. Of course, it came 10 days later, but Jesus speaks to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so he's telling them the very same thing that John the Baptist had said, that there's a baptism coming. It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a baptism of water. That's already taken place for most of the disciples, probably all of them, and most of the people in that room, maybe all of the people in that room. And then Jesus said, "You will receive power," in verse 8, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth," or some translations say to the remotest parts of the earth. And beloved, so that is God's plan for your life, that you be a witness. You're not just a bench warmer. You're not just sitting up in the high seats and eating popcorn. You're getting in the game, and you're going to break a sweat, and you're going to get in there, and you're going to tussle with the enemy, and you're going to be a witness. You can't just walk around with a mask all over your face all the rest of your life. You're going to be a witness, and that's just a symbolic thing. I'm not saying don't wear a mask, but I'm just saying God wants you to speak. He wants you to use your tongue. He wants you to use your mouth and the air coming out of your lungs to speak and be a witness for the kingdom of God. First in Jerusalem, that's your hometown, and then in Judea, that's a place on down the road, and then in Samaria, that's the place where the mixed people are. It's not your tribe, it's the mixture of tribes, and then even to the ends of the earth. And beloved, when you receive that baptism of fire, you're going to want to go where the Lord sends you, and you have no idea. If you say yes to God, when you sign up for the Lord's army, you have no idea where He may send you. He may send you to Africa. He may send you to Mexico. He may send you to Papua New Guinea. You don't know where He's going to send you. But beloved, when you sign up for His army, you're ready to go. You have your shoes shined. You have your sword at your side, and you have your weapons, and you have the weapons of your warfare, and you are ready to go, and you say, "Lord, I salute you. I'm ready to go. You send me, and I will be going there." Beloved, in my own case, when I received the baptism of fire, I wanted to preach. I have a degree in engineering. Well, if you go talk to church people and tell them you have a degree in engineering, that won't get you very many jobs in churches unless they need plumbing or a parking lot fixed. And so I said, I want to preach. I told the Lord, I want to preach. And so, Lord, I ask you to open up a door for me and let me preach somewhere. And God opened up a door within a year. I was preaching in a state prison. And I went into that prison for many years, preached over 2,000 services over a period of about 15 years, preached over 2,000 services in that prison and other prisons, even prisons in Africa. And I thank the Lord for the open door that God opened for me as I went into these prisons, and nobody hardly even knew I was in there except the inmates and myself and the Lord God and the Holy Spirit. And yet it was such a blessing to me, and I hope it was a blessing to the inmates. I know it was, because I heard from many of them in many different ways, even after they got out, what a blessing it was to have volunteers such as myself. There were many other volunteers going in as well, to bless these inmates and give them hope and encouragement and give them teaching and training in the ways of the Lord for their own life. Well, Jesus Christ is the baptizer. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, it says Peter's speech or Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost, he says, Jesus being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Well, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that great outpouring took place, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus. 3,000 people were saved and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire on that day. And Peter spoke that Jesus has poured out this that he received. He received it from the Father, and he poured it out on to the people there on that day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And the same thing happens today. Jesus is the baptizer. He pours out the Holy Spirit on people who say yes to him. He pours out the Holy Spirit on those who want to serve him. And he is the baptizer. You don't see it. He doesn't take you to the river. He just sends that Holy Spirit to you, and whew, like a mighty rushing wind, it comes in and it takes over in your life. Well, Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 14, when he is speaking about the Holy Spirit, he says, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and he declares it to you. That's why the counsel of the Holy Spirit is always the truth. All that the Father has is mine, Jesus said. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus receives it from the Father. He gives it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then is your counselor and your advocate and your comforter. And the Holy Spirit is in perfect unity with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, you can count on the truth when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Well, beloved, that is a summation. Of course, you can read Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and you can read Acts chapter 10 to see how the Holy Spirit was poured out first on the Jews, and then on the Gentiles. And then another good scripture you can read is in Acts chapter 19, when the Apostle Paul encounters some people who had been baptized with John's baptism, and then he tells them about the baptism of Jesus with the accompanying Holy Spirit. So that is some homework for you, and that is a summation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. If you need to know Jesus, if you feel like Jesus Christ is calling you today, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you today, get down on your knees and confess and repent of your sins, and let the Lord come into your heart. Let the Lord take over your life. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want you to be my master and my savior. And Jesus will come into your heart. He will cleanse you. He will protect you. He will guide you. And He is sufficient for all of your needs. He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for every need that you have. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord, as I said, for many, many years being on the radio. If you want to be a partner with this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to help support the projects in Africa and keep these radio broadcasts coming, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, let us know what you like about these broadcasts. If you have prayer requests, you can include them as well. And we thank the Lord for the listeners we have out there, and we thank the Lord for you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.